This is Chuck Jackson. I'm an electrical engineer with my own firm, JTC. I have experience at the FCC and have worked for more than 30 years in the electronics and communications industry. I earned my PhD in electrical engineering at MIT. I was retained by the NAB to do an independent analysis of the four studies of FM receiver performance that were before the FCC as part of the low-power FM rulemaking. I prepared this CD at the NAB's request. The CD demonstrates the technical standards the FCC used in its recent rulemaking on low-power FM stations. Specifically, the CD illustrates the impact of the changes in the existing interference protection standard that radio listeners currently enjoy. We digitally recorded the over-the-air radio signals of five popular stations in the Washington area. We then electronically added the types of interference that we project would be heard by listeners if new LPFM stations are licensed in this market. The levels of interference that we have added have been deemed by the Commission in its report and order to be acceptable to consumers. Said another way, the Commission feels that consumers would judge these modified radio station signals to be, quote, adequate, unquote, after the addition of these new interference levels. The interference we use is technically called crosstalk. In practical terms, crosstalk means you can hear the audio from another station in the background of the desired station. The first two levels of impairment or interference that we demonstrate are levels that the FCC's Office of Engineering and Technology classified as acceptable to listeners. The third and most extreme example of interference was deemed acceptable by the National Lawyers Guild study, a study on which the FCC relied in its final report and order. Here is a brief cut from WAMU, a public broadcasting affiliate in Washington, D.C., run by American University. This was recorded off-air using a good-quality consumer radio and illustrates the sound quality currently enjoyed by its listeners.
Complete listing of open jams is on the hotline. The hotline is open anytime you call, 202-885-1234, or 1-800-525-8338, or you could visit our homepage at www.wamu.org.
Here is the radio station you just heard, but now with crosstalk at the level that would push performance of a Sony Walkman to the FCC's 1% test level. This 1% level is substantially better than the level the FCC deems the limit of consumer acceptance. The FCC says that this is a level of interference at which, quote, most listeners would not be able to perceive any degradation. See if you agree.
Complete listing of open jams is on the hotline. The hotline is open anytime you call, 202-885-1234, or 1-800-525-8338, or you can visit our homepage at www.wamu.org.
The next segment shows crosstalk. Remember, that's the fancy word for interference. Just below the FCC's 3% cutoff level. By way of explanation, the FCC in its report and order determined that levels of degradation or interference above 3% were unacceptable. Therefore, under the FCC's criterion, this signal is not impaired, and this level of interference from an LPFM would be permitted. Judge for yourself whether this impairment to your favorite radio station would be acceptable.
Complete listing of open jams is on the hotline. The hotline is open anytime you call, 202-885-1234, or 1-800-525-8338, or you can visit our...
In our final example, we demonstrate crosstalk at the levels that the National Lawyers Guild study finds acceptable. Remember, this is one of the studies on which the FCC relied upon in its low-power order.
Complete listing of open jams is on the hotline. The hotline is open anytime you call, 202-885-1234, or 1-800-525-8338, or you can visit our homepage at www.wamu.org.
As you can hear, the FCC standards permit considerable interference. The four brief audio segments you have just heard illustrate the basic point. I believe that these new FCC standards for acceptable audio quality are ones the average consumer would find intolerable. Yet these are the interference standards the FCC used to justify dropping third adjacent channel protection in its recent decision to license thousands of low-power FM stations. This CD continues with identical interference examples applied to other popular radio stations in Washington, D.C. Here is a cut from WGMS, the number one classical station in the market. Now let's add crosstalk at the FCC's 1% level. Now let's add crosstalk just below the FCC's 3% level. Finally, here is WGMS at the level the National Lawyers Guild study would accept. The next example is WHUR, an urban format that is the number one station in the market.
You help me pick out tonight's triple play and everybody else that comes in with suggestions. Thank you. Well, the quiet storm. It sounds good.
Now let's add crosstalk at the FCC's 1% level.
You help me pick out tonight's triple play and everybody else that comes in with suggestions. Thank you. Well, the quiet storm. It sounds good.
Now let's add crosstalk just below the FCC's 3% level.
You help me pick out tonight's triple play and everybody else that comes in with suggestions. Thank you. Well, the quiet storm. It sounds good.
Finally, here is WHUR at a level the National Lawyers Guild study would accept. Fourth example is WJMO, a strong oldie station in the market. Now let's add crosstalk at the FCC's 1% level. Now let's add crosstalk just below the FCC's 3% level. Finally, here is WJMO at a level the National Lawyers Guild study would accept. Our last example is WWDC, a rock station in D.C.
D.C. 101.
Now let's add crosstalk at the FCC's 1% level.
D.C. 101.
Now let's add crosstalk just below the FCC's 3% level.
D.C. 101.
Finally, here is WWDC at a level the National Lawyers Guild study would accept.
D.C.
101. That was the last example on this CD. The CD also contains computer files with this presentation as a Windows WAV file, a copy of a PowerPoint presentation explaining flaws in the FCC measurement process, and a copy of a longer study on this issue that I co-authored with Professor Raymond Pickholz of George Washington University and formerly chairman of the Electrical Engineering Department.